though I'm contradicting myself because I claim that I already spoke here once, but it was different. Anyway, so let me start. Let me remind you, oh my God, it will take me half an hour to walk to the other side of the room. So let me remind you where we were. So we defined finite type invariants. I'm not going to repeat the definition. We said it's enough to study the mth derivative. The mth derivative I called WV, so the weight system of an invariant V, not via this resolution map. And I hope I convinced you that this is, so it belongs to the dual of that. It's a linear functional on that. I guess to be precise, I've only defined it as a set, so allow linear combinations, okay? And this is the dual of, or in other words, the thing inside, I hope I convinced you, is chord diagram with M chords. So DM is equal to the set of all diagram like this, where you have exactly M chords. Okay? And I think I gave you at least a plausibility argument for that. And in fact, it's almost a proof, but I encourage you to convince yourself that you can complete it to a proof. Okay? It's not hard, but it's worth doing. Okay? Anyway, so if I knew that any linear functional lasso, well, it's not very effective as a lasso because you can pull it out, it doesn't catch anything, right? So this, so if you pull out the lasso, you get nothing. You get this, you just get a little arc here. Also, you could pull out the lasso from above. And again, you will be getting a little arc here. So in fact, this knot is the same as that knot. So V of this knot is the same as the V of that knot. Right? So this difference is equal to zero. On the other hand, I could have gotten from this knot to that knot by flipping this crossing, then flipping this crossing, then flipping this crossing, then flipping that crossing. Flipping a crossing, the difference between the invariants before and the invariants after is the invariant that you get when you add an extra double point. Right? So the difference, this minus that, is equal to, so I'll be a bit schematic, well, plus or minus, because I don't want to worry about the signs, right? If you flip from over to under, it's the opposite as if you flip from under to over. Okay, from right-handed to left-handed, it's the opposite as if you flip from left-handed to right-handed. You have to check which one here, which flips here are left to right and which are right to left. I don't want to do that, okay? But basically, you'll get plus or minus the contribution that corresponds to flipping here. And then plus or minus the contribution that you get by flipping here. And so on. Well, not so much so on, just four. There are four terms here. But each of these contributions has two double points, plus the M minus two double points we had to start with. So overall, M double points. So overall, each of these contributions is an evaluation of WV on something. So we found that four evaluations of WV add to zero. Okay? So let me figure out, or let me check, let me tell you what these four are. So let's be, so here is what these four evaluations become. So here's the parameter space. Okay? There are M chords, M minus two chords in various places, I don't care where. And I'll draw them here in the corner, but I don't really mean that they're in the corner. They could be going from here to here. I mean, they could be long, okay? I just don't want them to interfere. Okay, so I have M minus 2 chords that are always the same, never move between these pictures. There's yet another chord that never moves between these pictures, the central one. This one always stays, right? It's always there. Okay, but it's worth marking it because it's because the others move relative to it. Okay, because the okay. So this is the central double point. Again, I'm drawing it here. It could be, it's just a schematic. Okay? And then there is a last double point. And that last double point is in different places. Let's figure out how to write it. First of all, well, a double point corresponds to a chord. A chord has two ends. One end of the chord is in the part of the parameter space that parameterizes the lasso. Okay? So the part of the parameter space that parameters the lasso, that parameterizes the lasso. Let's say it's here. So this is the part of the parameter space that parameterizes the lasso. Okay? Of course, it could be elsewhere. It doesn't really matter. Now, the part of the parameter space that parameterizes the lasso is never involved in other double points. So it's essentially a point, okay? So you have the fourth, the mth chord starting here, and where does it end? Okay? So it ends either on, well, this arc is one side of this double point, and that arc is the other side of that double point. So maybe the vertical arc corresponds to like this neighborhood of the chord. So this is the vertical arc, and this is the horizontal arc, right? This is what parameterizes the vertical arc. This is what parameterizes the horizontal arc. Okay? And then the last double point ends, or the other side of the last double point is either on the vertical before the fixed or after the fixed, or on the horizontal before the fixed or on the horizontal after the fixed. So basically, the four terms, for the four terms, this chord either ends here or here or here or here. Okay? And now you have to be careful about signs and write everything precisely, and let me just write it, okay? So here is the 4T relation precisely. You get this is equal, sorry, you get this minus that is equal to that minus that, where all of them have one chord in the same place, and you have a chord starting here ending right before this one, or right after, or right before, or right after, and this is it. Okay, believe me that I've done the signs 20 years ago and that's what came out. I don't think I did it again, but ever since, but it's probably right still. Okay? And of course, this is not a single relation. This is a template for a relations, for a relation. You'll get many, many more relations by adding the M minus 2 chords in all possible ways. So, you know, maybe you will always add another chord going this way. And maybe you will always add another chord going that way, and so on. But I'm just not bothering to mark these. Okay? The point to note, though, is in between these two ends, I marked them very much near each other, and what I meant is that no chords will ever, no, none of the M minus 2 chords will ever end in this gap. Okay? Because this is the gap between here and here, and that's kind of corresponds to the inside of the picture, and all the other M minus 2 are far away. Okay? So, you know, you can mark here a little no entry sign, and likewise, here there is a little no entry sign between the two, and so on. Okay? theorem, that's it. But the theorem is hard, and I'll talk, and it will, in fact, this is the one theorem that this whole series is about. Okay, so this is the theorem that that Z exists. Okay, but we will see why it's the theorem that Z exists later, but I mean, and we will repeatedly prove it for different classes of knots. But the theorem says that's all. So if a functional W going from D into, I suppose, the rationals, at least that's all over the rationals, satisfies 4T, then it comes from, DM, it comes from a type M invariant of knots, framed knots. Okay, and if it also satisfies Fi, then it comes from a finite type invariant of type M of unframed knots. Okay? So, okay, and again, the fact that this is always a hard theorem, and we will talk about it, well, tomorrow, mostly. Yes? What? I think I did. I'm not 100% sure. At worst, I didn't. Okay. Definition. Oh, you know what? Maybe I'll do a quick example. Okay? So, example. So, I never mentioned the Conway polynomial. The Conway polynomial is a minor reparametrization of the Alexander polynomial. Okay, that's all. It's just Alexander polynomial, some reparametrization. Anyway, the Conway polynomial has the following property. So, Conway satisfies that C of an overcrossing minus C of an undercrossing is equal to Z times C of a smoothing, much like the Jones polynomial, except simpler. Okay, so I guess I should have said that it is valued in polynomials with integer coefficients in a variable Z. Okay? And it also satisfies that the Conway polynomial of a k component knot is, it's actually an invariant of links, I guess. Okay? So it's the invariant of a k component knot is equal to 1 if k is equal to 1 and 0 otherwise. Okay? It's not trivial to check that it's an invariant, but once you check it's an invariant, this is sufficient information to compute it. Because if you have a complicated knot, you can always undo it by flipping crossings, and this tells you what is the price that you pay. The price is a knot with fewer crossings, and so you reduce to fewer and fewer crossings, and when you have no crossings, you're left with the knot with a certain number of components, and then the formula tells you what the answer is. Okay? So, claim, if you write the Conway polynomial as a polynomial, then each coefficient is a polynomial invariant. Okay? So in other words, if you write the Conway polynomial of a knot k as a function of z as some vm of Conway of a knot k times z to the m, so this is the coefficient of z to the m, then vmc is of type m. And I suppose what I want to find is what is the weight system of vmc. Okay, I want to find what is W of VMC. So my next little minor goal exercise is to, my next little minor goal is to take a picture of the board. But after that, I want to find what is W of VMC. Okay, and it's supposed to be a functional from dm into, I guess since the coefficients are in z, it's supposed to be a functional into z. Okay? So, I guess I don't want to do it. I want to leave it as an exercise for you. Okay? So, exercise. The following procedure computes the answer. It's, by the way, the unique invariant for which the procedure is linear time. Okay? So you take a core diagram. Okay? And you replace every chord by a bridge. So you replace every chord by a bridge that has sort of two sidewalks. Okay? So what will you get here? You know what? Let me do it this way. So this one becomes a bridge. The second vertical one becomes a bridge. The two crossed ones become two crossed bridges. And that's it. And then you count how many connected components are there in this picture. So basically you simply start walking along the sidewalks and see how many trajectories you take, how many orbits you have. So I start walking along the sidewalks. Oops, I came back where I was. Then I go along another such thing, and I came back, so I have at least two trajectories, and I think this will end here, because, well, the remaining trajectory is this square, and then I've covered everything. Okay? So then, you say, the exercise is that WVM of Conway is 1 if 1 orbit or path or whatever trajectory, and 0 otherwise. Okay? So this is for you to figure out. Anyway, given this exercise, I claim that, you know what, this is too much notation, so let me short it for the weight system of Conway and suppress the M. Okay? But anyway, I claim that WC satisfies, well, Conway is an invariant of unframed knots, so my claim is that it satisfies both the framing independence relation and 4T. Okay? So let's verify this. So So framing in the framing independence, so suppose you have a short cord, the short cord will become a short bridge, an isolated bridge. You have at least two components, it goes to zero, that's what the framing independence said. By the way, you know, maybe I should have given, I gave an example where it comes out zero, so maybe on the side I should give a small example where it doesn't come out zero. Okay, so if you take, say, this chord diagram, and M is equal to 2, then if you replace it by two bridges, it will look like, here are the bridges, let me complete the sidewalks, and this is obviously a single component, so this will become 1. Okay, so it's not always 0. Okay? Okay, so I've proven the framing independence relation, and now I want to prove for T, what was for T? Oh, for T is written over there. So I need to compare, let me write for T schematically. This minus this is equal to that minus that. So, in fact, 4t is satisfied too easily, okay? Because for wc, this is equal to that, or wc of this is equal to wc of that, and wc of this is equal to wc of that. Generally, you will need all four, but for Conway, they cancel in pairs. Anyway, why is this true? So this is true because if you take this chord and replace it by a bridge, okay, then now you can slide this chord on one side of the bridge and it will come out here. Okay? Or in other words, well, take both chords and replace them by bridges. By the way, this is not zero. The fact that there is here an isolated component does not mean that this is zero, because really there could be other chords going in here. Okay? But anyway, now you can slide sort of this bridge to the other side and you'll get the pictures that you would have gotten here. And since it's the same, well, it's topologically the same, so the same number of connected components, so the same weight system. Are you okay? Good. So, exercise. Do the same to the weight system of the Jones polynomial. So, I mean, it's several steps. First of all, you have to figure out an easy algorithm to compute the weight system of the Jones polynomial, and then you have to, verify that it satisfies 4T. It's guaranteed, right? But it's just good to confirm. Okay, are you with me? Is this all okay? What was I going to do next? Ah, low algebra. Okay.
Is it known that this, the Conway polynomial separates knots?
Oh, the Conway polynomial definitely does not separate knots. Okay? And it is if it was known that it separates knots, we would know that finite type invariants separate knots, and that's still an open problem. Okay? But the Conway polynomial does not even detect the difference between the trefoil and its mirror inverse, and its mirror image. Okay, and the Jones does. Okay, so Conway is a reasonably, in some sense, weak invariant. Actually, what?
But more computable.
But very computable, and well, it's weak, but it also has extremely good properties. So it's in some sense also the strongest invariant, because it says the most about the knot. It's easiest to read topological information off it. Okay? But in as much as separating knots, it's not great. Okay. what did I want to say? So essentially I told you about topology in the simplest case, knots, and I told you about combinatorics. Combinatorics is chord diagrams modulo this relation, and now I want to move on to low algebra. But before that, I need another combinatorics theorem. So this is what I like to call the bracket rise theorem, because it's where the bracket arises, and the same theorem occurs in different guises in other parts of the subject. Okay? So, I guess I should have made some definitions before, so let's make them. So, first of all, let A, calligraphic A, now if you know how to draw calligraphic A, you draw calligraphic A, I just do lambda and on top of it alpha. Okay? So, let calligraphic A be the space D, or more precisely dm, divided by the relations I really care about, the 4T relations. Okay? I suppose if I wanted to talk about unframed knots, I would let AR be A divided by the framing independence relation. Okay? But I want you to take the direct sum of all of these as m goes from 0 to infinity. Usually I will complete it, so I will allow infinite sums, but at this level it doesn't really matter. Okay? And this is, of course, a graded space, because, well, the different degrees don't speak to each other. So, you know, this is the direct sum of the homogeneous components AM. So AM is just DM modulo 4T. Okay? And then, a weight system, so if V is type M, then its weight system, WV, is really a linear functional. Well, it's a linear functional on diagrams, which satisfies the 4T relations. So it's a linear functional on AM dual. So in AM dual, okay? It's an element of AM dual, okay? And this is if it's a framed knot. If it's an unframed knot, it will be a reduced M dual, okay? Okay. Okay. Temporarily, let me add a C here. Okay? So temporarily, let me call this the A defined using chord diagrams. And temporarily, let me introduce a new space, and I will call it A up T. A up T. And A up T, well, T stands for trivalent diagrams or trivalent graphs. Okay? And the reason it's temporary notation is because I will immediately prove that the two are equal and then forget about the distinction. Yes?
By completing the spaces in this fashion, can you accommodate, say, the entire Jones polynomial instead of everything?
Yeah. So you could say that, and sometimes it's done, but, okay. Anyway, so what's AT? So AT will be, okay, likewise it will be trivalent diagrams modulo relations. But now let me tell you what these are. So it's the span, so the set of all linear combinations of diagrams that now have a slightly different structure. So first of all, they still have, well, I suppose it's good to give a name to the circle around the chord diagram, so I'll call it the skeleton. And it corresponds to the parameter space of the original knot. Since I'm still talking about ordinary round knots, I still have a round skeleton. Okay? But inside the skeleton, I may have some chords, like before, but I may also have trivalent graphs, so trivalent vertices, like this. And in fact, it could be, whatever. any trivalent graph inside, made out of like chords, okay? But with a few things to observe. First of all, I want it connected to the skeleton. So the graph that you have inside, well, if you collapse the skeleton to a single point, should become a connected graph. Okay? So this is an example of a connected graph, but if there was another component here made out of trivalent vertices, which is not connected, then that's not it. Okay? So I want it to be connected to the skeleton. Second, I want the internal vertices to be so-called oriented. So what's an oriented vertex? So you see each vertex has three edges or three chords emanating from it. And when you have three things, you can cyclically order them in two ways, right? Either ABC or CBA. So I want you to specify one of the two cyclic orders. So here I've specified it to be counterclockwise. Here I'm specifying it to be clockwise. And the convention will be that if I don't specify, but I do write it in the plane, this is not a planar graph. The plane plays no role here. It's the only coincidence that my blackboard is planar. Okay? But still, when I draw it in the plane, the convention, and I don't mark an orientation, the convention will be counterclockwise. Okay? Do I need to say anything else? Yes, I do need to say something else. So you see, things should have a degree. The degree is the M here. So the last sort of comment before introducing relation is that the degree is half the number of vertices total. So inner and outer. So the ones on the skeleton and the ones inside. So this particular diagram will be a diagram of degree, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Half of that is 6, so the degree is 6. Okay?
Is that clear? It's always even?
Yes. Yeah. Because all vertices are trivalent. So you can exercise, show that a trivalent graph always have an even number of vertices. Okay? But now I need to tell you what are the relations. So the relations are one or two or three, depending how you count. So there is a relation called the anti-symmetry relation, which says that if you have somewhere inside a vertex which is oriented counterclockwise, well, if you flip the orientation, you flip the sign. Okay? The second relation, STU, says that if you have a vertex coming near the skeleton, so the only way for you to tell which is the skeleton is because I've put an arrow on it, because it's directed, and I made it a bit rounded. Okay? I mean, sometimes I bother to make the internal lines dashed and the external lines bold or solid or whatever, but it's too much labor. So usually you'll have to understand from the context, and the hints are that this is a bit rounded. Okay? So this is equal to this minus that. So again, the picture, you should interpret this picture as a local picture. So complete this to a picture of a corda, of a trivalent diagram, in any way you wish, but complete the three pictures in the same way, and then you'll actually get a relation. So this is a big family of relations. Okay? And finally, there is the IHX relation, which says that if you have an internal part made which looks like the letter I. So internal means all of these are chords, nothing is a skeleton piece. Then this is equal to h minus x. Okay, now here this is not a vertex because my diagrams are trivalent, so this is not a vertex, these are just two edges passing through each other. It's just an artifact of the projection to the plane. Okay, these are abstract graphs, and when you project them to the plane, they sometimes have crossings, but they're not really a part of the graph theory. Okay? So, let me write the theorem now. The theorem is that AC, well, obviously AC, well, okay, the theorem is that AC is isomorphic to AT. Okay? Okay. So therefore, once I prove this theorem, I will stop making the distinction, and these superscripts will disappear.
Can you comment why either left or right hand side of this theorem is important to be described in terms of right and the left hand side correspondingly? Left hand side equals right hand side. Usually this means that either of the sides is easier and better for some reasons, and the other is more interesting. So.
Yes, good point. So this is the one coming straight from topology. This is the one we got to. And this is the one that connects to Lie algebras. But you'll see the connection in a minute. Okay? So you're right. I mean, in the diagrams that I wrote before, right, I had topology going to what?
It would be a good time for a break.
Oh, that's it? I didn't say anything yet. Well, let me a few more minutes, okay? So topology goes to combinatorics, going to Lie algebras. So really, combinatorics has the C side and the T side. And the two are the same, but the C side is closer to topology and the T side is closer to Lie algebras. Okay? Really? I'm out of time?
Sorry.
Okay. Okay, so let's stop now, but I owe you a proof of this theorem, and then I owe you an explanation why this is related to Lie algebras.